Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right, you shelfies out there. You got our podcast 13 today, week 11 recap. It's insane. We're already here. I feel like this happens every year. It just flies by. And starting from week 12 on, it's really crucial. We'll get into the this is the first bi-pocalypse with six teams on bye. We get another one of those, of course, in week 14. But we'll get to there. TopShelfFantasy.com. Our start sits are out there. I'll get mine done tonight. I got like three more. So we'll pull us out there tonight for the weekend. And X, Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky. We're on now. Or I'm on now. It's Scott Milne, TSF. But on the other ones, of course, at TopShelfFNTSY. How's it going, Daz?
Good. I just found out that Blue Sky existed, so that's shaking my reality to the core. But
just Twitter.
I thought you guys were doing like a bit when you first like, have you heard of Blue Sky? And I was gonna be like, yeah, of course, dude. And you guys are like, yeah, we just made it up, idiot, like, friggin' liar. So I was like, no, I don't know what that is. But no, seriously, I don't know what it is. I'm just officially an old person. But yeah, dude, week 12. Like, I guess I'll just stick with the old person theme here. It's like time flies. You blink and it goes by. All of a sudden we're at week 12. That means we're talking about week 12, 13, 14, and we're into fantasy playoffs. Like, almost every league starts fantasy playoffs week 15. I have a couple that start the week after, which I think are stupid, but
I mean, if it's 10 team and starts in week 15, that's kind of lame. It's more than half the teams that make bye. I don't have to do anything all year and just get by, and then all right,
we
cool.
We have a 10 teamer that starts week 15, and it's only four teams make playoffs. So it's a cutthroat league. Yeah. Not a lot of winning going around. But it's that time of year, you know. You know your team at this point, or at least you should. You kind of have your guys that you play, your guys that you don't. But like you mentioned, bi-pocalypse this week really throws a wrench into that. Like, typically we're fairly set in our ways by week 12. And the last couple of years, it's like week 12, 13, 14 have been heavy bye weeks. And you're like, you're losing a lot of viable fantasy plays that you just, you know, we're typically relying upon at this point in the season. So it's a tough world.
Yeah. I mean, we can go through it now, I guess. You got the Falcons. So let's name Cousins, Bijan, Drake London, probably Kyle Pitts too. There's three there. Darnell Mooney, five guys. Bills, Josh Allen, Cooper, Keon Coleman, Shakir, James Cook, maybe Kincaid. Bengals, Chase Brown, Higgins, Burrow, Gesicki's been up there. Jaguars, BTJ, I guess. Evan Engram, maybe.
And people still playing ETN, I mean, for what it's worth.
Yeah, Bigsby's out. That's ETN getting, you know, 15 touches a game. Yep. Saints, I mean, now you can say MVS, I guess.
Yeah. Taysom Hill, if he was still healthy.
Taysom Hill's been massive. Kamara, and then Jets, Aaron Rodgers, maybe, but Davante Adams, especially Garrett Wilson,
Breece Hall.
So we just named at least 20 guys there. And I love that on Twitter, you know, like you quote like draft day, don't worry about buys, draft the best team possible. And then it comes to the screenshot. Some person has like, all the starters are all on buys. Like, I guess it means a little bit sometimes, especially when you're like four wins and then you're screwed.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. Like, if you're like 10-1 right now, you're just like, whatever. Like, yeah. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever happens, happens. If you need to win out, or if you need to, do you need to win this week, whatever it may be, like you get shattered by bye weeks and you're like, oh man, like, I don't, what do I do? What do I do differently at the draft? And I mean, like you said, you can't be in your draft like, I'm not going to take this guy because he's a bye week, such and such week.
Right.
That being said, maybe in the future, I might look at those like week 12, 13, 14 bye weeks and say like, if there's a tiebreaker between two guys, maybe that does it. Because that late in the season, I'd say even anything after week like 10 in the season, you're in crunch time. Like, if I would have looked and saw, I don't know, let's say Isaiah Pacheco versus Travis Etienne in the draft, I might have used that bye week to then say, okay, that makes sense. I'll go with the earlier bye week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their performances haven't mattered this year, but that kind of comparison at draft this year in terms of player I just think of that one because that's what me and Derek had, on our plate in front of us when we were drafting in Antoine League. And, we decided just to go with Pacheco because neither of us had shares of him. But in the future, maybe look at that and say, okay, Etienne is a week 12 bye. I don't want the guy in a week 12 bye. Would have bit us anyways going Pacheco because of the injury, but at least we'd have him back this week. Maybe.
Nope. Well,
Yeah, we'll get there.
we will get to that. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, again, everyone's going through it. I'm sure there's some teams that kind of had their buys spaced out. I have a league where it's been spaced out and I've done pretty good with like not being crushed. But then you have the like, oh, it's better to get it all done on 1 week and then win out, but it's easier said than done. Like if you
Right.
lose those weeks, like, damn, I'm really screwed for week 12. So
When you imagine too, right? Like, let's say magically you draft a team that your entire team is on bye on in week seven, and you're like, nice, I nailed it. I'm just gonna punt week seven. Well, by week seven, half those guys are probably gonna be hurt with the way that we've seen fantasy go
right.
lately. So you're
And
gonna
it's
have to go pick up guys that then aren't
right.
conducive to your bye week strategy. It's kind of just ineffable. There's too many moving pieces to account for it. So at the best strategy remains: draft the best team you can, draft the best players, available to you as you go, that fit your team needs at the time, and hope for the best. You deal with bye weeks as they come to you. Be active on the waiver wire and try to plan a week or two ahead if you can.
Yeah, and then for the NFL, stop doing this bipocalypse so late
Right.
in the season. Again, do it week seven. That sucks, but it's week seven. You have weeks before the trade deadline, plenty of fab left. Like, that's when you do it. Because you can lose since you have so much of the season left to, recoup it. Week 12, especially week 14, we'll get to that in a few weeks. That's going to suck. That's going to be the last week to get into playoffs, and you could be completely screwed.
Oh, and dude, I mean, I have so many guys on bye that week. Look at my HLH team when you get a chance. I'll have Lamar,
I
Jonathan
mean,
Taylor, all
you got
these
the
guys
Ravens.
sitting.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, everybody's sitting. And like you said, this is on the NFL. You have, let's say, 17 weeks in the regular, so 18 weeks in the regular season. And okay, so you're not going to do the first 4 weeks. All right, cool. So weeks like 5 through 12 would give you 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 8 weeks to put 32 teams on buys. That's just four teams a week. If you did four teams every week, we'd all have a reasonable schedule. So I don't know. It seems like an easy solution. I'm sure there's a reason they do it this way. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to hear their logic because it bones me in fantasy every year.
And then week 13, there's no buys. Spread it out. Just spread it out. God damn it.
Right. There you
Makes no
go. Even if you
sense at all.
take it
Take
in a
two,
way
like
tighter
4-4-4,
windowed.
not six
Right.
blank six,
Exactly.
God. All right. Get to the news. IR, Dak Prescott, finally. He's been, pretty much out for the last couple weeks, but he's finally placed on IR. And Gabe Davis has a meniscus tear. Will miss the rest of the season. Not that he's been a factor, minus I think one game, he had two touchdowns, but probably on your bench at that point anyway. So those are the two guys that I are for this week.
Yeah, Gabe Davis has been kind of irrelevant this year. He went over to Jacksonville from Buffalo, and people thought he was definitely going to see some success. And it just, that whole team really has been a letdown, minus maybe Brian Thomas Jr. But yeah, not what you hope to see. So we'll see him next year. As for the outs, there's been a lot of movement from questionable to out over the last 24 hours. So we'll power through the big ones. Isaiah Pacheco is seen at practice. He has been practicing all week, but was ruled out today for week 12 action, so he will not make his return. I would guess this means week 13 he's like pretty much locked in, but I guess
They,
that remains to be
yeah,
seen.
they play Carolina, so I get it. Like, if you want to get him one more week,
Yeah, why
I
rush him?
mean, there's no threat there at all.
Yeah, 100%. Devontae Smith is ruled out with a hamstring injury. He'd been nursing that all week. I think this was kind of writing on the wall. Would have been a quick turnaround for a guy that relies on his agility and his speed. So this one at least makes sense. Brock Purdy, I don't want to say out of nowhere because he was on the injury report, but he is out. I think most of us expected him to gut it out, play through it, but that's not going to be the case. He's going to miss week 12 alongside Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, who is currently doubtful, and Brandon Allen is going to be the guy starting in place of Brock Purdy. So that's an interesting wrinkle for the entire San Fran offense. You probably, again, to add to the bye week hell that we're in, we're now talking about completely diminished value for Juwan Jennings, Deebo Samuel. I mean, kind of even Christian McCaffrey, at least as far as the receiving stuff goes, and then his space to run on the ground gets a little bit tighter. And George Kittle, if he's playing. Yeah, I think he's gonna play.
Yeah, and I had Bosa and Trent here just because, not fantasy, but I mean, Trent out, that means Kittle's probably blocking more. You're talking about CMC, those holes he gets on that side of the field probably won't be there. And then Bosa too, like that's a massive loss on the defense side, and they're going against the Packers, so a lot of big people out there are going to hurt the value. I mean, you're probably playing all these guys anyways, Jennings, Debo, CMC, Kittle, but if they don't go out there and, do what they have been doing, don't be shocked at all.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And like you said, for the Packers side of it, Nick Bosa out. I mean, that gives me more confidence in Josh Jacobs, who has been dinged but is still anticipating playing. And, more time for Jordan Love to throw without Nick Bosa bearing down on him, which means probably a slight bump for all the receivers in Green Bay. So, a lot of implications with those injuries there. One that has less implications, Miles Sanders is out. Nobody really cares. Jake Ferguson. Yeah, hold on, let me go back to that. If you're still playing Miles Sanders, I don't know what you're doing. Now moving on. Jake Ferguson has suffered a concussion in Monday Night Football. He's still in concussion protocol. He will not play this Sunday. Schoonmaker was pretty effective in his replacement. So I would look
Yeah,
to
I
him
mean,
if you're looking for a quick pickup or a streaming tight end option this week.
Cooper Rush is throwing the ball, and it's to a few tight ends too. So, yeah, I think that's the easy checkdowns
Yeah, they had that rookie,
for his
the
name.
hyphenated guy. It's like Smith Davis or something like
Yeah, I'm
that.
like, who the hell
Yeah,
is
or
that guy?
Span Davis, someone like I don't know, whatever he is, but he
Yeah.
was actually involved. So, I guess take a look at those guys if you're really desperate. Tajay Spears still suffering with a concussion. He's out this week. Alexander Mattison listed as doubtful. Zamir White is also doubtful. So Amir Abdullah has been a big pickup this week in
I
on
think
waiver
Abdul's
wires.
also hurt too. He's
Yes,
questionable.
classic.
So
Gotta
what's
love it.
Dylan Laub?
Yeah, I don't
Oh,
even know
is
if
that
anybody owns him.
where's he from? Is it Holy Cross?
Is that it? Is it
Could be
Holy
completely
Cross?
wrong.
You would know more than me. I
Go
don't
through the outs.
follow. I don't know if I
Yeah.
don't follow enough fourth round or fourth string Raiders running backs.
I don't know if he's fourth, but he could be fifth.
Marshon Lattimore is out again. Still has not made his debut, even though he passed his physical upon the trade from the Saints going over to. Why am I drawing a blank? Where'd he go, Scotty? Lattimore.
The Commanders.
Oh yes, Commanders. So 2 games in a row that he has not been active for a team that he just got traded to. Which
Three.
three? Is it three now? Well, wonderful. So.
Yeah, so he passes physical as you have to be traded, and not like he could got off the plane and he's like, oh, like which is like, I don't know. It's kind of weird when you have to pass a physical to be traded, and then
Then you have an
you're
injury.
still the injury from your previous team, and it's been
Yeah.
3 weeks. So, I mean, I'm always like, hey, this guy's hurt. You can trade him. That team wants him. Do it. Like,
Yeah,
that's
right.
fine.
Like if the Commanders
So,
are aware of it and they're like, screw it, we'll
sure.
take you anyways, then yeah. But if the Saints, who have a history of doctoring medical reports, hit it or covered it up, that's a whole other scenario that we have to
Yeah.
deal
And
with.
Dylan Lobb went to UNH.
UNH. Yeah.
UNH.
So he sucks at football. Good to know.
He's even worse. All
Yeah,
right.
D3. Huh?
Are they D3? Or are they
No, I
D2?
think they're D2.
I mean, I assume a D3 player didn't get drafted in the NFL draft, but he's seen crazier things.
It says he went to Worcester State College. He was a Lancer.
He's a Lancer with a 4-win record. Weird. And he commuted? That's strange. Questionable. We got one guy on there. I don't know the status now, but here it is actually here. DeAndre Swift battling a groin injury, still expects to play. As of today, it was a full practice. He's still questionable, but you got a thankful practice today on a Friday that he will be out there. Team definitely needs him. So, and they play the Vikings, so I think they definitely would want him in there. And We'll talk about his backup there too as a
Sure, he
play
wants to be out
later
there
on.
for his own incentives too. Whatever's in his contract, he need, you know, give me every easy matchup I can get.
Yep. Can I take the other section since I just had
Please.
one unquestionable and two on IR? All right. Turning in the right direction, George Kittle says he'll play in week 12 versus Green Bay. We talked about that before. Mike Evans will make his season return. Sunday gets the Giants. I think he needs 685 yards in 7 games to hit 1,000. Doable.
Yeah, he'll do it.
Tough, but doable. And you got to think Baker's going to get in and do it. And do it against the Giants. Do it. 150 there, and then
I was gonna say, there's no reason he couldn't push 200 in this one.
we feel pretty good going forward. Darnell Mooney's hamstring injury is not considered to be serious. That's good news. He's been balling out, and they need him bad. Adam Thielen trending in the right direction to play Sunday. Been out since week 4, just crazy. Juju Smith-Schuster is also full participant in practice after his hammy injury. Not that you're starting him, but definitely set the just. A body out there. Sam Laporta's off the injury report. Didn't play it last week, but will play Sunday, barring any setback.
That's a big one. I mean, he kind of popped up out of nowhere, missed the game, and then now he's back. So hopefully he's ready to rock. Oh yeah. So now we'll get into some actual news here. The Giants fire their GM Joe Douglas, and then in a corresponding move, they benched Daniel Jones, and then as of today, they cut Daniel Jones straight up. Which is kind of wild. You don't really see that on fresh contracts in the NFL, really. But apparently it was per his request. Daniel Jones talked to the owner, said, "Hey, can you cut me?" He said, "Yep, no problem. Happy to do it." So, kind of wild. We'll see where he lands, if he lands anywhere. I'm sure somebody can use his services even as a backup. So I'd expect him to latch on with another franchise quickly. That being said, that means the Giants going forward are rolling with Tommy DeVito this week, and then Drew Lock probably the following week once they can dodge paying him his incentive money.
I will say if you said they fired GM Joe Douglas, that was the Jets,
Oh, sorry.
the other abysmal New York team.
Sorry, I can't keep my terrible New
I
York team
know.
straight. But
You couldn't
yes.
just lump them into one, I think, at
Yeah, it just said
this
New
point.
York, and I said, oh, it must be something going on with one of those idiot
No,
teams,
it's
and didn't
just
look any
the
closer.
person that Rodgers pointed the finger to. The guy that drafted, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Brandon Allen, Sauce Gardner, Michael Carter. Yeah,
Guys are,
all those
well, of
guys.
course, terrible, terrible, terrible.
Yeah, but we talked about this before side chat on Drew Lock's incentives. And it's just the Giants just being complete dicks. And if he starts this week, they have to pay him, I think, pretty much $250,000 plus possible more with passer ratings. So if they start him after week 13, they're off the hook of paying any incentive for playing time.
Which is
So
just like
Giants being Giants.
the cheapest move that you've ever heard for an NFL franchise, about 300K, like, or 250K. Like, give me a break. You saved $5 million or more by not signing Saquon Barkley, and now you're gonna cry poor about a couple hundred G's. Like, give me a break. You're an NFL franchise. Get over
You
it.
gave $5 million to Drew Lock that could have gone towards
Right.
Saquon.
Right.
It's just, I mean, I could have a field day with
Yeah, I don't know what
New
the
York
gap
teams in
between
general.
I don't know what the gap between Saquon's contract and Devin Singletary's was, but like you saved enough money there that you can afford to pay a couple hundred grand.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the guy that's now a backup over Tyrone Tracy?
That's
Yeah, the
right.
guy that did, yeah. Motor. That's his
Motor.
name, Motor. They got Motor, the
Fucking
punk.
motor boy.
Guys, go
Motor
watch the Hard Knocks offseason with the Giants,
boy.
and you will send in your resume that second to get that same job. Since
Literally
how we talk about text-wise every single day.
insane. In other news, Tyquan Thornton is cut by the Patriots. Almost immediately signed to the Kansas City practice squad, which is a good spot for him to land in case he needs receivers. And I mean, getting Pat Mahomes throwing you the ball is a lot better than most other guys in the league. So good spot for him to land. Not sure that he'll have any impact there. But kind of closes the book on Patriots wide receivers drafted under Bill Belichick. I mean, there's a couple more lingering, Kayshon Booty and whatnot, but yeah, Tyquan just never really got it going in New England. Never really looked good. Never really stayed healthy. I don't want to say it's all his fault because he didn't really have a lot of support around him either, but he looked like what we knew he was the moment they reached on him in the draft, and he looked like a reach in the draft for an underskilled and undersized receiver.
Yep.
He's what people were worried DeVonta Smith would be.
Yeah, exactly.
Other news, Jonathan Brooks will make his season debut Sunday. Is that still on track as of today?
Yes, I saw his pop up as a sleeper. He changed from healthy to questionable, but I think he's still going to make his debut, especially with Miles Sanders already ruled out so quickly.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But hey, we only had to wait 12 weeks to
Yeah,
get in the lineup.
if you stashed him this whole time,
Very
good
little
for
too
you.
late.
Hopefully he scores like 100 points and makes up for it this week.
Yep, I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, Chuba's been so good there. It would be weird to see them move crazily in the other direction, like right to Brooks. I'd expect to see him eased in. Plus, they play KC. KC's a good defense.
Best run defense in the league.
Literally. Javonte Williams somehow manages to outrush and outtouch Audric Estime right after Estime was touted by Sean Payton to be deserving of more touches and a more favorable split in his favor. So more or less, we still have no idea what's going on with the Denver running backs. Sean Payton's pulling another Kamara, Mark Ingram kind of scenario where you never know who the guy's going to be week in, week out. For what it's worth, Javonte looked fine. He looked, good even, but it seems like this is just going to be an absolute mess of a backfield to try to play for in fantasy. So I would just kind of steer clear of both of them for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I agree. It's where he goes from one snap week 10 or one carry to what 18 fantasy points, and then
Yeah.
Estime still got some touches, but just completely flipped again. So,
Too
yep.
volatile. Won't touch it. I mean, there are leagues maybe you own Javonte and you have to play him. I know
I mean,
we're
it's a
one of them
big,
in TSF, but
yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, we had started last week, but again, bye week hell, you may have to start both these guys anyways. So. Just to talk about the game last night, snowball game. Hope you guys all saw it. It looked great in the first half, and then they come out in the second half, and then holy crap, there was l a lot of snow. But
There's so much snow, it's hard to see on the broadcast.
and I couldn't believe some of the throws that like Russ was making and Jameis was making in that weather. And I was like, I think Jameis threw a pick, and I was talking to someone like. You have to think like he's just seeing his guy's jersey down there and just kind of praying, especially
Yeah.
with like against the Steelers who wear white jerseys. So it's probably tough to see it, but overall came down to the wire. Jameis, brought him down the field, and just to see him win his post game interview, and just it was a great thing to see the Browns win that game and kind of give Steelers a nice little reality check too, like. Hey, like you're
Yeah.
good, but like this two win team, they got you.
Yeah, and then it kind of comes down to that Russell Wilson Hail Mary at the end, and we've seen him have a lot of success with Hail Marys over the course of his career. And you've got George Pickens, blocking a guy
And fighting,
well
yeah.
away from the ball, like it was Greg Newsome just essentially getting into a fight like during the play off the field. So we saw Tyrique Stevenson get dogged by the Bears fans after letting up a play when he was distracted pre-snap. I mean, George Pickens should, or he is getting dragged online for it, but like, he's got to be more aware than that. You're part of a play. Like, focus on football. Stop letting football punctuate your fist fights on the field.
Yeah, I feel like it's happened like at least one play the last 3 weeks, which is
Yeah, I mean,
surprising because like it's better play for him. He's probably happier with Russ throwing him the ball. He's balling out, but he still can't do it. Like he
yeah, I
has
think
to
he's
get
just
into
like,
a fight.
he's as big of a head case as we were worried that he would be in the draft. Like another one in the long line of Steelers wide receivers that's just an absolute
Yep.
loose cannon. But this is what was touted in college. I mean, he had his issues there too. So we shouldn't act like it's surprising. But like you said, you'd expect him to be a little bit happier. The team's winning. He's contributing, he's making some good grabs along the way. Just gotta stay focused.
Yeah. Trying to think of it. All right. Next one, week 11, top shelf performances. I guess I'll start with quarterback question mark, Taysom Hill. 38.52 if you count him as a quarterback, which in fantasy you can, so we gotta act like he is. This would also be the top tight end score if he was a tight end as well. But there's no passing stats here for
Yeah,
him.
he had one completion for
He
18
did.
yards. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. But he was
He also
eight.
had a fumble, which essentially canceled that out.
Eight receptions, 10 targets, 50 yards, seven rushes, 138 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, we see Taysom Hill do this a couple games every year, and I don't know. Like, it's just Taysom Hill. He's gonna do this, then you start him, and he's gonna burn you. So.
100%. Yeah, Taysom Hill. I got nothing to say. He's a guy that I will never play in any format. It just, this, like you said, a couple times a year, he burns you. But again, most likely he did this on your opponent's bench. If somebody had Taysom Hill in their lineup last week, they were scraping the bottom of the barrel just to start a valid lineup.
Yeah, I will say he was played more with all the injuries, with Jamal still out, Olave out. So it's like he was an option, but I didn't see it to be this good. Like
Right.
10 to 12 points, I'll take, but 38 points, if you started him, you probably crushed your opponent.
Yeah, I mean 100%. That's probably 32 in a flex spot and you're thrilled. Moving on. Running back position. Joe Mixon, he's just been up here left and right this season. 34.3 points, 20 carries for 109 yards, three touchdowns, as well as two catches on four targets for an additional 44 yards. I mean, he's just been doing this all year. At this point, it's not surprising. It's more of what we expect from him. He's a perfect fit in Houston, since he's got to be kicking themselves for letting him go and thinking they're going to run Zach Moss and Chase Brown. Not that Chase Brown's been awful, but he's not been Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is just a different level. So we'll probably see him up here a few more times before the season's over.
Yeah, I was talking to our buddy Derek about just the RB landscape and like how Houston hasn't been playing that well, or at least CJ Stroud with Nico out, but they're winning games because of Joe Mixon. Then you look at Dallas, they're losing games and don't have a running game. Cincy should probably have a couple more wins and close to playoffs if they kept Joe Mixon. So it's kind of good seeing the RB is being valued a lot more now. Like, you need to have this guy, and the fact that since he just was going to cut this guy, but well, I think the trade was for a seventh round pick. So dumb.
So dumb. Like, so Cincy. So suburban.
Save some money then not sign Chase or Higgins long term. Nice.
Right.
All right, wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown, great to see him up here. 33.2 points, 11 for 11, 161 yards, two touchdowns, had a rush for minus 4 yards. So we'll knock him for that. But other than that, he didn't have to have this kind of game because they were up by so much. But I do like the Lions because I think they were up by like 21 points before Goff had a throwing touchdown, and he had four. So this is great. The Lions are up and they still do this. So definitely a team that you aren't scared about if they're up by a lot, because they're not going to change their game plan at all.
No, I kind of love it. Dan Campbell just saying, let's be the bad boys of the NFL. Let's run it up. He's done it a
Yeah,
couple
screw
times
it.
this year. Whatever. It's professional athletics. You don't like it, stop me. I firmly believe that. I think it's more insulting to your opponent to let off the gas. And again, it's the NFL. We've seen teams come back when people let off the gas. So go score every time. Why get out of your rhythm? And if you're an Amon-Ra owner, you're absolutely loving it. McDonald's shout out, which again, that's BK. Or is it McDonald's? I don't know. Whatever. Fast food, doesn't
But
matter.
up, up, up. Yeah,
I'm
whatever.
loving it. BK? McDonald's? I don't know. Tight ends position. Jonnu Smith. Here's a name we don't see often up here, but he's been putting together a couple good games this season. Six catches on eight targets for 101 yards and two touchdowns, netting you 25.1 fantasy points. At this point, you know, if you're hunting for a tight end, Jonnu's not a bad play. I've been playing in the last couple of weeks, you know, in TEP, so 2 points a catch there. But in any format, realistically, he's been viable for a few weeks straight. So he's playing New England this week. Definitely a huge upside. Good chance that a guy like him, athletic wise, can burn the lackluster Patriot linebackers or safeties. And a revenge game for what it's worth. Big revenge game guy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of taking over that Jalen Waddle role
Yeah,
completely. So
honestly, quite honestly.
he's now looking like the second target. I mean, it's been way more than one game, so it's kind of a trend that we're seeing, and I mean, it's working, so why not go? You can't go away from that, so.
Yeah, definitely. Tua and him seem to be on the same page.
Yep. A few other guys, honorable mentions: Jared Goff, 34.6 points; Saquon, 32.8, up here a lot; Breece Hall, 27.6. They still lost. Cooper Kupp, 25.6; T. Higgins, 25.3; Brock Bowers, 24.8; and Noah Gray, 16.3.
Noah Gray. That's a weird one.
Well, we'll get to the bottom feeders soon, and you'll see why. Want to take a quarterback to start?
Yeah, bottom feeding pieces of shit quarterbacks. Mac Jones, we expected to see him on here, and here he is, 5.2 points. Kirk Cousins, who's had two back-to-back rough weeks, 5.9 points. I saw it was the first time in Kirk Cousins' career he's gone back-to-back games without throwing a touchdown. So hopefully he'll right the ship because we need some people over in Atlanta to perform. Russ Wilson, 7.3 points. He already turned that around on Thursday night, so he's back in action. And CJ Stroud, 11.9. Usually 11.9, you'll get to skate by and you won't get blasted by me in this section, but CJ Stroud at 11.9 hurts. You know, you're playing him as a starter. He's had a few struggles this year. Really not the same level of success we saw in his rookie season. So I think returning Nico Collins will help. They also had about an 80-yard touchdown throw to Nico Collins called back in this game. So that took, you know, what's that, 10 points off the board for CJ. So that would have given him a 21.9 game point week, and you would have been thrilled. So he gets a little bit of a pass, but he still ends up on the list because he just hasn't been the same CJ Stroud we've been used to.
Yeah, that play would have hit me like $350 on a
First play of the
$10
game too.
parlay. Yep. Because I had Nico over 60 yards, and right there, he would have hit and a touchdown. So, and all my other legs hit. But, I mean, we saw Joe Mixon 3 touchdowns. So, with that, you kind of see their quarterback not do as well. Team one, team first kind of shit. But yeah, with Nico back, if that play stands, I mean, I think they played Dallas and they were up. So, there's really no huge
Yeah,
point to
they were
go on.
coasting. They're going for it on fourth downs. Like, they're just having a good time.
Bottom feeders, Raheem Mostert, looking like taking the RB3 role now behind Jalen Wright, -0.2 points. Zach Charbonnet, 1.5. Again, no split there. Tony Pollard, 3.9. Hate to see it. Aaron Jones, 4.8. Got a touchdown vulture by Cam Akers right on the goal line. So that one hurt a lot for some people.
Yeah, Aaron Jones. I mean, he's been good this season, so I'd expect him to bounce back. But seeing Cam Akers get the touchdown is just gross. I have to listen to Dickie tell us how good Cam Akers is.
No.
Wide receivers.
No way he played. No way he played.
Kadarius Toney. I only
Browns?
put him, yeah, Browns. I only put him on here because he had minus 0.7, which is like a lot of negative
Didn't
points
know
to
he
have.
played.
Yeah, so that's hilarious. Ricky Pearsall gives you a 0 spot. Deontay Johnson also hooking you up with 0 points. Those are two tough ones. I mean, you probably played Pearsall with the injuries and people out, and Deontay, you definitely played with the injuries, people out, bye weeks, etc. So, two guys that are really unplayable at this point. Garrett Wilson gives you 3.6 points, 3.8 points. My bad. Either way, not a good week. And then Debo with 4.1. So, really, between Debo and Pearsall, you're looking like, what the heck happened? And then you go and look at Juwan Jennings' stat line. You go, oh, he got every single catch in the entire game. Well, that
Yeah.
makes sense. So, I don't know. Debo, I'd expect to bounce back, or at least I'd tell you that if Brock Purdy was still playing with Brandon Allen under center. I don't know that that's going to be the case. I think the Niners' receiving options become a lot harder to play this week. Deontay Johnson, I think you and me are both kind of on the same page. You can't really play him right now
You
unless you're in
can't play
an
him at all.
extreme desperation scenario.
He's
And
probably
Garrett
about boring
Wilson,
now.
you got to play. You're going to play Garrett Wilson every week. Sometimes he's going to hit, sometimes he's going to not, but you're not sitting him. Kadarius Toney shouldn't be on your team.
That one's so I he was finally active. He goes for negative yards.
I scrolled
Yeah.
all the way to the bottom of the list just to see, and he was there, and I'm like,
I was
I
gonna
put him
say,
in.
you definitely went so far down to see if it was anyone that was negative because you got Mostert and him on here. It's
Yep.
pretty
I want to
funny.
make sure I didn't miss on those this week, so screw those guys. I'm going home.
Yeah, the Deontay one is kind of funny because Coach came out and said like the asking price for him was so low for a player that good that they're like, well, why not? But it came out, they're kind of saying like he's insurance for Zay Flowers. So that's, I mean, if you want to handcuff a receiver, I guess if you're Zay Flowers, get Deontay, because then he's in that role. But yeah, I mean, they were a smart team to do it the week before the trade deadline because, I mean, we talked about 31 other teams that he could go to have fantasy relevance, and it's not with Baltimore.
Yeah.
All right, tight ends. This guy is on here way too many times, but Kyle Pitts, 1.4. Jake Ferguson did get hurt, 1.6. So, can't really count that too much. Travis Kelce played a full game. Noah Gray balled out, 60.3. Kelce had 1.8. And TJ Hawkinson still waiting for those weeks, 2.3 points.
Yeah, he's my sit of the week this week too. It's like we just haven't seen the
And
classic Hawkinson game.
you're seeing the Vikings kind of taking a step back too. I know Darnold had a good game because he ran one in, but he was my sit. He ran one in. It would have been a hit, but you know, they're kind of coming back to reality a bit. But you'd think with him, they'd kind of, you know, play a lot better too. They had this arguably a top five NFL tight end back. You'd think that the team would look a lot better, but
Yeah, just it's
yeah,
not
it's tough.
clicking for whatever reason. Like Justin Jefferson's still putting up good numbers. Jordan Addison
Addison
actually had
here
a
and there,
big touchdown last week, but that's really it. And then like you said, Hawkinson just not doing it right now. So you would expect a lot more out of this offense, but Sam Darnold is returning to Sam Darnold. So we can't be too surprised.
yep. All right, is that it? Yeah.
Yeah, sleepers of the week in the next segment.
Yeah, so we just kind of put together a few guys at each position. These might be some of our start sets. I'm not sure. But it's pretty much some sleeper guys that during this apocalypse that you may have to start these guys because there's really nothing out there. So we're just giving you a few names out there that you can, you know, plug and play in. Hopefully they can give you like, I don't know, 6 to 10 points.
Yeah.
As a quarterback, you probably hopefully more than that, but
Yeah, I was trying to think of some people that are probably available in most formats that you can go grab if you need just an emergency bye week fill-in. And I think that we have some great names on here. So, to kick it off, I had Drake May as a quarterback. His ownership was a little bit higher than I thought. It was 66% when I last checked. It's probably could be even higher now with his matchup against Miami this week, but currently ranked as quarterback 26. So if you're in a one quarterback league, you really shouldn't be owned, unless you have people in your league just stashing tons of different quarterbacks for some reason. But again, he's been serviceable lately. He hasn't quite clipped that 20-point threshold, but he has looked good. He's been on target. He's been on time. He seems like he's making the right reads. He's getting halfway decent performance out of his wide receivers that he does have between Bourne, Booty, Hunter Henry, and then the running back. So I think he's got the weapons to at least be competent and stick to that 15 to like 18 point range. If he gets you more, it's probably going to be because he threw for, you know, a couple touchdowns or maybe he ran one in or something like that. So I definitely think he's a good play this week against Miami. If you're really hurting for a quarterback, maybe you had Brock Purdy and now you have to go find an emergency sub. He's a guy I would definitely look at if he's sitting out on your waivers. I think he can at least keep your team alive in your matchup. Chances that he gives you, you know, a 6-point game are probably fairly low, but the chances he gives you 25 are also probably fairly low. He probably hovers in that 15 to 18 point range, but at least that, you know, gives you a shot.
Yeah, and he's been running the ball extremely well. Like, I think as good as Kyler, I saw the last couple weeks. But yeah, I mean, With the receivers, I wouldn't say, all right, now go start Bourne because he had a good week. It flips every week. Week before that, I think Jalen Polk had that touchdown. Week before that, Douglas had like seven catches, but like 30 yards. I think starting Hunter Henry as a tight
Yeah,
end
Hunter Henry is a
even
must start, I
worse.
think.
I think that is Bourne. Again, if you want to be cute and do it, do it. I mean, he's a fun guy, and we kind of saw. I was so happy to see him do well because that's what he is. It's not
Right.
just a random thing. When he's on the field and gets targets, he's a good player. Mine is I already laughed at it. Tommy DeVito,
The Cutlet Boy.
the Cutlet Boy. He's going against the Bucks. Again, taking over for Daniel Jones, and we talk about Drew Lock's incentive thing. So this could be DeVito's, only week he starts. If I'm him, if I kind of know that, screw it. I'm going out there and balling out. Like maybe I get the job week 13 too. But if there's a week to just toss a guy in there and say screw it, they can't cut me. They just cut Daniel Jones. So
Right.
I'm gonna. I mean, again, you have Malik Nabers there. As long as you get the ball in his hands, I don't care if it's fucking 3 yard slants. Ball in his hands, get it to him. You got Tyrann Tracy that's been working in the slot a lot this week too. That could hurt Wandale Robinson a bit, but again, you have all these guys. You got to Darius Slayton back with those long balls. Theo Johnson's been playing great, like, and it's the Bucks. They got to be down, so just chuck the ball. And I mean, he's one of those kind of fun guys to root for. One of those like Gardner Minshew-esque kind of guys. So, yeah, it could be worse, but again, he's got nothing to play for, so why not go out there and ball out? Who cares?
100%. And we've seen those slingers just, perform well in the past. Even the guy that's backing him up, Drew Lock, has had success when he
Same.
just was subbed in to sling it around. So hopefully he goes with that mentality and just there's nothing to lose. Go put on a show and maybe latch on somewhere else in, next season or something. So I like that. I like that pick. I think he's got some upside. And the Bucks secondary is not good. So he's got a matchup where
It's their biggest weakness, right?
he can definitely find some space to operate. I love that he's not even ranked as a quarterback. Just QB NA. Running back position. I have Trey Benson, currently RB61 on the season. He's playing against Seattle. It kind of goes hand in hand with my start sits this week. I have James Conner as a sit. His efficiency has just dropped off like crazy, at least in terms of running the ball. He's averaging like 2.9 yards a carry over the past game or two. So if that's going to continue and that's the trend that we're seeing, Trey Benson is going to continue to try to steal some touches out of the backfield. Now, James Conner is still doing a lot through the air and, still being pretty effective. So I think if there is a way that my sit's going to come back and bite me, it will be with James Conner and the receiving work. That being said, Trey Benson, I still think we'll see a good share of carries on the ground. And Seattle's been susceptible this season. They're not, top of the tee or top of the table, but they're not bottom of the barrel either. They're right in the middle. But they've been susceptible to some big runs. And if Trey Benson can get loose and find a hole, he's a perfect, bye week hell sub in starter, at least in your flex spot, maybe even your RB spot, depending on what your lineup looks like. And I think there's a real world where his upside is like 12 to 15 points. So I'd love to take a shot on him in any league where RB is a question for my lineup and just see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm not trying to save Connor, but take some work off of him. If you do believe that you're a playoff team, you want James Connor, divisional round of playoffs. So Benson's been playing great too. Like every carry he takes, it's close to breaking one for the end zone. So I mean, we always talk about like it takes rookie RBs, to like week 10 to start becoming a thing, and that's kind of exactly what we see when Trey Benson. So if they can have him have a big role in this offense before playoffs, I think it's massive to give James Conner just a little rest.
Yeah, and like you said, like it just looks like he's ready to break a big one, like the eye test of all things. And you hate to rely on that, but that's what feels like every time he touches the ball, something could happen. He looks dynamic. He feels like he's athletic and shifty. I just think he's due for a big game, and this could be the week.
My sleeper RB is Roschon Johnson. We talk about Swift being banged up. Swift will play this week, but regardless, we saw, the new OC comes in there, of course, has a different, play style. It was great for the Bears last week, but Roschon saw his highest snap percentage, I think, by far last week with 42%. So you kind of look at that as like, all right, kind of a split backfield there. He had 10 carries, only 33 yards, but he was the goal line back. Gave it to him once, didn't get it. Timeout, 2 minute warning, whatever it was. You think you bring back in your package with Daniel Swift? Nope, it was him. He went right back to the goal line. So if this new OC is saying, all right, Roschon's a goal line back, which I think he's a great goal line back, keep Swift from, the 20s, great. I think he does have a role. If he's got 10 touches last week, 42%, I think that's definitely a higher, trying to think, like RB2. What, like you're saying play a Trey Benson because he's probably seeing like 40% of the snaps. I'm saying play Roschon because of that. You're on the field.
Right.
So it's not like he randomly got the touchdown. No, he did because he's been on the field, he's getting carries. So I'm not saying it's a split, but
Yeah, he's got
yeah.
the opportunity, and he has a good chance to capitalize. And if we say that, somebody's TD dependent for a good day, it's not an insult. It's just
That's
if
the
they're
role.
in the position to score touchdowns, then that's a great thing. Yeah, they're TD dependent, but they get every goal line look. Okay, then I'm going to
That's
play
called
him.
Jamal Williams, guys.
Right. You know who else was TD dependent? Mike Tolbert. And guess what? He was an effective fantasy play for years. I like that start a lot. And again, I'm a huge Swift fan. I think he's got all the talent in the world, but I don't want to see him on the goal line either. I'd much rather see Roschon Johnson. He gives the Bears a better chance to score. He's the bigger back. He's just more physical. It's just what his game is designed
That's
to
why you
do.
have him over Khalil Herbert, and now
Right.
Herbert's gone, and it's now, this is what it is, and it worked last week, so you're not going to change it. And you took my wide receiver, by the way, at first, you dick.
Well, so I just changed to him actually, because I
Oh,
had
you
Ricky
did?
Pearsall. I had Ricky Pearsall
Oh,
in here.
shit. Okay.
Yeah, and I changed it because Ricky Pearsall now with Brandon Allen, I don't think I can rely on. I know I was going to try to spin the narrative that the backup quarterback and Ricky Pearsall would probably have had some familiarity with
I
one
knew
another,
you would say that.
and then I was just like, I don't really believe
I'm
that.
getting
So.
too cute with this.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine instead, or Ikhine. I'm not sure how to say it, but wide receiver 68 playing against Houston. Houston secondary is not bad, but after you get past Derek Stingley, they are a bit of a liability. So, assuming that Derek Stingley is on Calvin Ridley, who should play even despite his illness earlier this week, that should leave NWI some position to operate against the backup or the second corner on the team. If that is the case, I like his odds to at least give you that 8 to 12 point range. I know last week he popped for 18 points, but that was kind of on the fluky 99-yard touchdown. I wouldn't expect that to happen again. But Will Levis is looking a lot more competent. He's looking more comfortable at the quarterback position in Tennessee. Seems like he's making better decisions. Calvin Ridley is not as upset as he was earlier in the season with how the offense is performing. So he doesn't have to stare down Calvin Ridley every single time and force feed him the ball. He can look other places, though. Calvin Ridley throwing a fit, which opens up a lot of opportunity for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. On top of it, Chigga Okonkwo has been a little bit more effective lately and seems to be more involved in the offense. So if you're having a few different mouths to feed, I like the opportunity for him to be out on the field and maybe find some open looks.
Yeah, since Hopkins left, I think that team, not that I think they're any good, but like has a more identity of before was like it was Hopkins' team, is it Ridley's team? Now we kind of know, and now Akini's kind of fitting into that role. Akini's like that new Greg Ward kind of player. He just doesn't leave the Titans, and he's always good. And you
Yeah,
got Treylon Burks still on IR too, so I mean it's Akini's roles as the wide receiver two on a team that's gonna throw the ball. Sum me up.
he reminds me of like Tyler Boyd from the Bengals for the past like 5 years. Like he just is always
He's
around.
there.
Like
He's good,
if
but
he's got a
he's
little
not
bit,
great.
if his role can grow a little bit, he could be good, but like, one game every here and there. Just to remind you that he's got some talent.
Yeah.
I think Boyd actually might be in Tennessee now.
He is, yeah.
Okay.
He is in Tennessee. My sorry to burp. Ugh, what wide receiver start is Jalen Coker, the Panthers rookie receiver. Currently wide receiver 89, but he didn't come really into the picture until Deontay Johnson was traded slash Thielen was hurt. It's he hasn't had great games. He had one great game week 8 with 15.8 points. But before their bye week in week 11, he only had 5.6 points. But 88% of the snaps, which is much higher than he's ever seen, 8 targets, which is his highest in the season by far, only three catches. But I kind of like him and Xavier Leggett going forward too. Like, this is a young team. See what you have. Bryce Young and him seem to be on some kind of path together, but he is questionable with a quad injury. It came up, late this week. So if the off chance is that he doesn't play because it's quad injury, then slide Adam Thielen right into that pitcher then. Then Adam Thielen gets all the slot work. At least Coker with Thielen back would probably, I wouldn't say split. Maybe Thielen has a few different spots in the field, but if Coker is out, then Thielen is the play here. But if Coker does play, I do like him as just a sneaky guy getting like 8 targets. It's gotten some looks in the red zone too. So again, if he doesn't play, then I like Thielen a lot here.
And well, and to be fair to Thielen should be eased in. We've seen him try to come back from injuries in the past and re-injure himself. So hopefully that is handled appropriately. I don't want to see Thielen hurt again, especially with how agonizing that first one looked. Tight end position to round it out. Will Dissly is my pick. Currently tight end 21. He's playing Baltimore this week. He's just been a consistent target of Justin Herbert's last, like, 4 out of the last 5 weeks, I guess I should say. 11, 7, 6, 6, and 3 was his bad target week. But that was against Cleveland. So Cleveland's a tough defense pretty consistently. Baltimore's defense, on the other hand, just hasn't been the Baltimore defense that we've been accustomed to seeing over the last, like, 2 decades. So I personally would, I mean, I guess we're talking about here, like, streaming tight ends and tight ends that might be available in your leagues and in your formats. And I would just think that that Will Dissly's out there available and has a ton of upside to score a touchdown this week. So if he's going to see 6 to 10 targets, maybe turn that into like 5 to 7 catches, he can average around 50 to 80 yards somewhere in there and happen to score a touchdown. Like, we're talking about a pretty dang good day out of a tight end that you just picked up off the scrap heap. So I like his odds. He's on the field only, just over 50% of snaps, but he's making the best of it. And it seems like when he's on the field, he's running routes. He's not really an inline blocker. He's not, reconciled to one of those types of roles. He's really just a receiving tight end. So 50% snap share might be alarming to some people, but if he's running a route on 100% of the snaps he's out there, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, that's a great thing to bring up too. Like, we see these tight ends, their snap percentage is like 98, 99. If it's Tyler Higbee or those kind of guys, but those guys block. If Dissly's only in there to run routes, he said they're on 50% of the snaps. That's awesome because he's not in there to block at all. If you see him in there, he's trying to get open for a pass. Like, that's awesome. Yeah, I picked him up last week for this week because they're playing Baltimore. So, yeah, I mean, Herbert's been killing it. And Dizzy seems to be one of his favorite targets too. So, I'm starting him in plenty of spots. That's actually my tight end start of the week. Dallas, I'm glad we agree on that one. And my tight end streamer of the week, or sleeper, I guess, 34-year-old Zach Ertz. I think people that own Mark Andrews are still going to try and start Mark Andrews because of the name, but Ertz is definitely the guy to start over him, and probably, I mean, probably starting him over Laporta too, honestly.
He's been so good.
I mean, last week 15.7 points, great, 7 catches. I mean, seven targets, six catches, 47 yards, and a touchdown. 80% of snaps too. And when he's out there, he's running routes more than he's blocking. And I think everyone is trying to find like the Noah Brown's the second target. They're trying to find the second target when it's just Zach Ertz, and we need to, you
Right.
know, we need to know that, and that's what we've seen. So, I mean, last 2 weeks, seven targets, eight targets as a tight end. Week eight, 11. Like, that's what you want. That what Ertz is doing now is what we want Mark Andrews to do. So it's just a way safer thing, and he's playing Dallas. I mean, you can do whatever you want against the Dallas Demons, I feel like.
Yeah, we saw
They
last week with Cooper Rush and the backup Cowboy. Dalton Schultz and C.J. Stroud against the Dallas defense. They're like, there's week. Dalton Schultz had like eight targets. He should have had a touchdown. He just didn't get in the end zone. He was like 5 yards short. Like Zach Ertz has been there, done that. I mean, I've been starting Ertz over Freiermuth in a dynasty league all year. It's just he's been that good, that consistent.
Yeah, I feel like this year has been these kind of guys just got to stream and hit on. Like, it's probably the year to do that than drafting a LaPorta or Kelce in the early rounds of drafts when you can just stream Ertz, Hunter Henry, Disley, Jonnu Smith, those kind of guys. Like, that's what's going to probably help you win your leagues. And yeah, Ertz is right there with the best.
Yeah, if you reached on Sam LaPorta and you missed out
Dalton
on,
Kincaid.
you missed out on Malik Nabers, and then somebody grabbed Malik Nabers and then grabbed Zach Ertz in round 15, that team is kicking
Huge
your ass
shift.
up and down the street.
Yep. Yeah, I
Oh,
mean,
what a world to get alive.
tight end landscape has sucked. Like, again, we talk about Mark Andrews, probably the third or fourth taken. Kelce's definitely had some better games of late, but still, he's down there. Kyle Pitts,
Yeah,
lots
you're
of
not getting
lows.
one of the tight end performances where like, oh, they're comping as like wide receiver four right now. It's like, no, the best tight end is wide receiver 35. Like, I don't know that for a fact, but it feels that way this year.
No, because Brock Bowers is probably the top
Bowers,
10
Trey McBride's
wide
probably
receiver.
up there too,
But besides those
but
guys, it's
largely
just
you get my
streaming.
point. Yeah, we're not getting the 300 point year out of Kelce.
Nope. Those days are over. All right. I guess that will do. Before we leave, I will just check on our top shelf fantasy league real quick. I won't talk too much about me and Dows. We are in dead last with a whopping 3-3 wins, 3-8.
It's been a tough year.
Yeah, but in first we got Rumhams, who won last year. We got Ronald Reagan. I'll just say the names. Terrence Dineen is in second. Jay, who won year one's in third. The Chan Man's in fourth. Adam LaPierre is in fifth. And Ben Ingerson is in sixth. After that, we got Dave Lord in seventh. And Kyle O'Donnell's on the podcast a lot in eighth. And I think, you know, this is going to be a very close playoff race with those top eight teams, not our team by any means. But we're
We
hoping
just
to
didn't
bring
we didn't want to
to
win our
bring.
own prize again, so
Exactly. Yeah.
it's totally
We're going
deliberate.
to, you know, break some hearts. So, I mean, we had Jonnu Smith last week and we still lost. That just shows you how bad our team
So
is.
bad. And
So
Javonte
bad.
Williams. All
God damn, you fucking suck. All right. All right, Daz. I think that's it if you want to just take us out.
Yeah, Shelfies, we always appreciate you listening. Hopefully your teams are doing better than our listener league, but hopefully you paid attention, you learned something on this podcast about all of the sleepers that you can play so you don't have to worry about your bye weeks. As always, I tell you to hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Blue Sky apparently is a thing. Hit us up there with any of your start sit questions. We're happy to answer, give you the best advice that we possibly can. It's one of our favorite things to do on the weekend. So beyond that, just make sure that you're staying fluid and staying loose.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid. Stay loose. We'll be right back.